The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We're heading across to Rhode Island to their head coach of the Brown University rugby team. He, obviously, that's his current gig. You may know him from other coaching gigs, including multiple Triple Crowns for Ireland and, of course, the US national team, I think 2009 to 2011. Eddie O'Sullivan, good morning.
Morning, Anton.
What's it like being in the States at the minute, Eddie? Is it all a bit mad?
Yeah, it's a news cycle. It's pretty dominated by politics, but as I say, it's probably as bad here as well. We get a lot of the Trump stuff off the bat, but yeah, it's very much dominating the news cycle. I think it was always going to, but you know, I think that hopefully it'll die down in time and we get on to other things.
And in terms of the sort of the day-to-day life, I assume because you're northeast, that means politically you're probably slightly more aligned. The general vibe would be more European and a la Ireland than if you were coaching somewhere like Texas or Georgia.
Yeah, like I think the people don't get about the US is that it's a continent. So like it's different to where you are. I mean, California is so different than Texas, is so different from New York, is so different from, you know, the Northeast or the Midwest. And it's a bit like comparing in Europe, if you compare Irish people to French people. And now there mightn't be such a shift, but there is differences. The Northeast, where I live in Providence, Rhode Island, is very much it's a stronghold of Democrat politics. It's a very small state and it's voted Democrat for, I think, as long as anyone can remember. You know, so you have that sort of thing. You know, they have the blue states and they have the red states. But it's an intriguing political system where you only have two parties, and it's usually a pitched battle on a daily basis.
Does it feel like home for you now?
Not really. No. I mean, I visit there. I spend about 7 months of the year there, and I work in the autumn or the fall, as they say, from August to late November or December, and then I come home for Christmas and I go back out in the spring for a few months. The autumn season is 15 aside, and the spring season is 7 aside, so I'm home for the summer as well. So I've best of both worlds. You know, I get home for Christmas and I get home for the summer in Ireland.
And what do you find in terms of the teams and players? Because I assume the big difference between, because athleticism-wise, you're picking from, a fairly significant group, but they don't have the background from schools that they would here.
Well, actually, we're a bit atypical in a sense that Brown University is an Ivy League university. So for kids to get into Brown University, the acceptance rate is tiny. It's less than 5%. So academics have to be off the charts because it's Ivy League. So we tend to get very bright kids, but they're not necessarily very athletic. Whereas other teams we play in our competition, they usually have much, much bigger, stronger teams. So, you know, our kind of modus operandi is we're small and we box very clever and we beat teams by being smarter than them, you know, in how we play. So for me as a coach, like that's always what I've enjoyed as a coach. I love that aspect of rugby, is being tactically smarter or tactically more aware of the opposition and just beating them with brains rather than brawn. And at Brown University, because we're not a big team, we're a small team, but we're a smart team. I really enjoy that type of coaching and it suits me down to the ground.
Does it suit you as well to coach without the sort of the glare, the flamethrower of publicity that you would have had in the Ireland gig?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm working at a university. I mean, I go down on the street for coffee. Nobody knows who I am, which is great. And I just get on with the job. I enjoy coaching. So the environment is very enjoyable. You're on a university campus. It's actually integrated in the town, on the east side of the town. So, you know, there isn't like a gate like you would in the university. Like in UCD, you go through the gate and you're there. In Brown, it's just sprinkled through the town and you're living in the town and working in the town, you know. So it's a lovely spot. Yeah, I enjoy that. And again, it's not a high-pressure rugby by any means. No, it's great fun.
Did that pressure, when you began to feel it, did it surprise you? Because it strikes me that some of the people who get that job, maybe I'm doing them a disservice, but when you look at them from the outside, you get the sense that part of what they enjoy is the public scrutiny.
I think it's a funny one. You love, I guess, if you want to coach at a high level, and I'm not doing that really anymore, but per se, but I am, when I was coaching at, say, the international level, there is a huge amount of stress because there's a lot of focus on you. And I think part of it is driving yourself to see how you can do in that very competitive environment at top end. You've always wanted to test yourself. And anyone who goes into that environment, that's probably what they're in their own mind, what they're trying to do is test themselves. And other people do it in other, spheres of their life. Maybe someone who's a politician is testing themselves, someone who's a CEO of a company is testing themselves. But in rugby, that's what you're doing. And you're right, if you're working at the higher levels of the game, you're testing yourself all the time. Now, do you enjoy that? Well, that's another story. I think you enjoy the aftermath of winning. You never enjoy the aftermath of losing. I mean, a very interesting thing is sometimes, I remember when you're on the bus going to an international game and you're going through the city and the outriders are taking you through the police outriders and the sirens and the pressure's building up. And you know, this is in about an hour's time, you know, you're going to be under immense pressure. And you see some fella cycling home with a baguette under his arm. You're thinking, geez, I wouldn't mind joining him and watch the game on TV, you know. Like, so you ask yourself at times when you're under the most pressure, why do I do this, you know? Like, there is a question mark in your head sometimes. But having said that, ultimately, that's what you want to do. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. You just remember, there's nobody forcing you to do it. You know, you can.
But does that come back then, Eddie? Because I imagine that if you have spent as long as you have deep in the weeds of analysis and planning and strategy and coaching, is it possible for you to just grab the baguette, sit down and watch a game as a punter?
Oh, you have to do that as well, yeah. You have to do
that.
Can you? You have to decompress, yeah. I can. Now, I don't watch as a punter because I suppose I'm looking at a game through the prism as a coach. So when I watch the game tomorrow in Murrayfield, I'll be watching as a coach and I'll be looking at it and saying, God, they should have done this or they could have done that. Or if I would have, you know. And what I often do just for skits and giggles, as I might say at halftime, well, I wonder what I would say in the change room now if I was the head coach. So you do look at games differently, yeah. There's no question. You can't not do it, you know. So, but at the same time, it's much more enjoyable on the couch when you're under pressure. You know, I mean, I remember last week when I know Simon used to be very well. I coached him for years at our under 20 level, and I coached him when he was obviously playing with Ireland. And it was his first international, and it's against England in Dublin. And I just, you know, I was thinking of the guy going into the game, the pressure he was under and the need to get a result. And even at halftime, the game was so tight, I was thinking, God, I just hope this works out for him, you know, because I knew what he was going through. You know, I was that soldier. So, yeah, it's an interesting insight. You'll never not get that because that's who you are. You know, that's what makes you up, you know.
On the topic of coaching individual players, I spoke many years ago to a guy who he did coaching for Formula One and Indy drivers, and he maintained, though your man was never successful in F1, that the best driver that he had ever dealt with or seen was Juan Pablo Montoya. Is there a player like that for you who may not be the one that people think of as the ultimate, but to you, you always said, yeah, he was one of the true greats?
Well, actually, funny we talk about that. For me, Simon Easterby is one of those guys. He was probably the most understated player of the Irish team. He used to get a lot, you know, of criticism when he get picked because people felt it was somebody better than him. But he was one of those guys that was the ultra professional. Like, he was so granular in his preparation. He left no stone unturned, and he did phenomenal work as a player on the field. A lot of stuff that we talk about, the unseen stuff. You know, big tackles, big carries, or even more importantly, big cleanouts, which are, you know, cleaning out a ruck when there's probably two guys trying to poach the ball. And he had that consistency about his game. And he was a guy who was a professional, like from when he was under 20. When I met him, he was playing under 20. He was born in Yorkshire. His mother was Irish, so he came through the English system, and he played under 20s. When I was coaching under 20, way back in the 90s, and even then, he stuck out to me as a special fella. And I always knew he'd probably go into coaching because, again, he was kind of cut from that cloth, you know. So he's one of those guys. There's been other guys who, but he was ever, like, he was ever regarded as the Paul O'Connells or the Ron Nogaras or the Bernard Driscolls. But and I suppose, you know, he was never that as well, but he was off. He wasn't far behind him on certain days out, but he might never got that credit, you know.
And when you say that you knew that you had a sense to be cut out for coaching, what is it that you look for in a player that makes them become a good coach? Is it an analytical ability? Is it drive? Is it brain power or passion or what?
It's a number of things like this. Some of those things, like very granular in his thinking, very committed, leaves no stone unturned when his preparations, and has a knowledge of the game and understanding of the game and how the game functions. And then even somebody with all that, their last piece of the jigsaw is, can you communicate that to other people? And can they understand what you're thinking about? Can you make them understand what your vision is? Because that's how you want them to play. And that's what every coach tries to do is, you know, can you get the players to understand, buy into and execute your vision? And I mean, I would say the long piece of jigsaws, I didn't know if he would be that real communicator because I never saw him in that role as coach. But obviously he's grown into that, you know, now that he's been handed the Irish team with Andy Farrell away with the Lions. So obviously that part of it, which is probably the most important part, has come to fruition as well.
On the topic of the Irish team, what's your thinking in relation to our likely success at the Six Nations?
Well, I think we should win in Scotland on Sunday. I mean, our record against Scotland is unbelievable. We've only lost 4 Six Nations games in 25 years against them. And at the same, we've beaten them comfortably in World Cups as well. So our record against them is extraordinary. Now, the 4 times we lost in the Six Nations, I remember them. And on those days, things went wrong for us. We didn't play to par. And that's always a possibility in Six Nations. You know, it's one of those tournaments that can happen on the day. And if we played a par on tomorrow, we'd win. But if something goes wrong, we could lose. And it would be one of those occasions. We'd probably wake up if we lose on Monday, thinking like we let that one slip or what went wrong that we didn't expect to go wrong. But if Ireland played a par tomorrow, I think we should win. And this is a very good Scotland team, don't get me wrong. It won't be easy up in Scotland. And they've been dying to beat us for years. That like we are the team that drives them crazy because they haven't been able to beat us for so long. I think it's 10 games now since they've beaten us. But you never know. And with the new tackle laws, I think people who mightn't be, you know, dialed into rugby notice there's a lot more yellow cards and red cards in rugby, you know, because the tackle laws have changed. And if you make the slightest mistake in a tackle and you make contact with a player's head, you could get a red card. And there's more of that. So that can change a game. So there's a lot more things can go wrong. But on par, we win. And then the big game, obviously, is France. But they're coming to Dublin. So again, I think if you look at the way the Six Nations is set up, there's the odd year and the even year. The odd year is you get England and you get France at home. They've always been the 2 teams to beat. And if your home big home game is on an odd year, you have a chance of a Grand Slam or a Six Nations. When you've got a way to Twickenham and you go away to Paris, it's a tougher year. So it's an odd year. So the big one, if they beat Scotland, the big one is probably France. We should beat Wales at the moment. If we beat France, we'll win the Six Nations and probably the Grand Slam.
Oh, we hope it is not jinxed at that, Eddie. Listen, before I let you go, I don't tend to run the programme as a democracy, but I'm getting this question a lot, so I will ask it. What's the chances of your name going in the hat for the Munster vacancy?
I think that day is well gone. I haven't got a job in Ireland since 2007. So, and I have tried for a few, but they haven't come my way. So I've resigned myself to the fact I won't be coaching in Ireland again.
Eddie, thank you very much for your time.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.